Welcome everyone to Toonami Therapy. It's February 7th. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we missed last week due to unexpected circumstances. Sorry about that. So we'll be doubling up on the Toonami coverage, but we'll only do one of the non-Toonami shows this week. Yeah, pretty simple there. Let's see. So I guess we can jump into it then. And let's see how badly I remember the episodes that aired 2 weeks ago, because I can remember, there's a lot of them I can't remember well. We're starting out, So start out with Boruto. So the first of the episodes, I can barely remember anything from. Other than that, I don't know, Sumire is kind of forgiven for the whole thing and our class rep, as you probably know her as, and gets back in there, and there's, oh golly, I can't remember anything else about the first episode. I can remember the second episode, just not the first.
Well, move on to the second then.
Okay, so the second one, which is episode 16. So that one so Denki and what's the other guy's name? Like the guy who was like held back or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. They like need to like work and study for tests and stuff, and you know, there's some of that, but then they're not able to make it to the test because they decide to go and rescue some people from a burning building. And except then Shino's like, well, it's okay. You know, you demonstrated that you knew your ninja stuff, so it's fine. And honestly, the main thing I had about this episode is, why do they think this is any kind of dilemma? Why do they think Shino would say, no, you missed the test, so you fail, even though you had a very good reason for missing it? like that's not in his personality at all.
Yeah, I know.
So they're like, sorry.
It was like such fake drama. Like the whole time you knew he was going to say, oh, you did the real test, you know, you passed. And it was, but they built up to it for so long and it was like, come on, we know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, like even if it was just a matter of they show up a little late and he's like, oh, sure, I'll let you take the test. I mean, especially with such an understandable explanation. He's not a strict teacher at all. You probably could have been late without a good excuse and he would have let you do it. So yeah, that was like my main reaction to it. The fact that they're setting that up, and it's just like, no, this doesn't make sense. If he was like a really strict teacher, I could understand it maybe, but it is not. So it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll move on then to, let me make sure I'm getting this right. My Hero Academia episodes 34 and 35. So basically what happens is that everyone, I think this is like they're supposed to be their final, in which two people get paired up to go up against one of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was a test. I'm just not sure if it was supposed to be their final or not. And I do like the fact they mentioned they deliberately picked who was paired up with who, because otherwise it was like Deku and Bakugo against All Might. What are the odds?
This was intentionally. They were intentionally chosen. But I'll get to my problem after you explain the rest of the episode.
Okay, well, the two episodes kind of go together because it's just students going up against, you know, doing that and trying to beat the teachers. Because, like, the rule was, didn't they either have to, like, escape from them or they had to subdue them or handcuff them or something? The first two fail, then there's the next one where it's... so we have Tsuyu and Birdhead guy against that was him right? That against that one guy who can make the clones and copies. And honestly, that fight was kind of a blur. The second one for me, the second one was, there was other one, this sort of I'm getting the order mixed up. I'm sorry. The second one was Momo and Todoroki against Eraserhead, right? Okay, so that one. So they're doing that, and basically it's all about Momo regaining her self-confidence and stuff, which is good because she did stuff, but she was really annoying to me for a while there. There's another one, but I can't remember anything about it because that one got all the attention.
Froppy?
No. Without that, wasn't there another one other than the one with Froppy? It was when Ida and the tail guy, they went up against that was over pretty quick. So those were our fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what did you want to say?
Well, I wanted to say that, like, these episodes left me with the impression that these teachers are real pushovers, because so far, 3 out of 4 teachers have lost. And these teachers are supposed to be like really, really, really strong heroes.
Well, they all did have like weights on them, it was mentioned.
Yeah, but still, they're getting kind of like the way Aizawa got beat. Like, it made Aizawa out to be stupid. Like, he's not even that smart. I just came away with the impression that these teachers are jokes, and that this really isn't like as big of an accomplishment as it was supposed to be. Like, if they had gone like 9 in a row with the teachers winning, and then it got down to All Might against the other two, then I might feel like, okay, you know, this will be a real accomplishment. But if we get there and there's like 6 teachers have lost and only 3 teachers have won, I'm going to get the opinion that All Might isn't all that great anyway, you know?
Hmm. Well, this one, hang on, let me think. So far they're like 2-2, right?
No, it's 3-1. It's 3-1. The teacher only won the first one.
I thought the one with Ida, the teacher, won.
No, but they beat the teacher there. So, yeah. So it's 3-1 so far.
Oh no! You're right. I was misremembering. I'm sorry. That one just completely was through my mind, because I could remember like the Froppy and the Momo ones, but the middle one was just such a like, oh wait, that actually did happen, didn't it, to me. Well, I didn't really mind that much, because like I said, they mentioned that like they're all the teachers have had something, have like, you know, been put on like weights and stuff to make them like slower and weaker and stuff, and it is 2-1, so I'm okay with that, especially because it's not even you don't necessarily, because to completely beat them, didn't Froppy only beat him by like just managing to get a handcuff on him, which didn't really actually beat him.
Hey, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, there's just that, but he wasn't really defeated. It was just okay, you passed the test necessary. Or something like that. Yeah. Okay. So there was my jumble of thoughts on that. I don't. You probably didn't, but I'll check. Did you watch Mob Psycho 100 the last 2 episodes?
Nope.
Okay. So I'm going to be surprising. these episodes were actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really surprised. I almost, the first of them, I almost didn't watch because I was thinking, oh, I should get to bed. And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it. And I watched it. Wow, this episode was actually really good. And then I watched the second episode. Like, well, this one isn't as good, but it's still good. And I'm thinking, wow, I might actually be interested in the second season if it's as good as these last two episodes were.
What happened in them?
So basically, what's his name? Reagan. The sort of fake psychic guy. So Mob and like the other sort of actual psychic characters some of them were captured by this group and they're, some of them went to rescue him. So Reagan like gets in there and he basically just completely bluffs his way all the way to getting to them by like making it seem like he's this big guy, which all these other guys, which all like the underlings fall for. It was just really funny, especially anyway. So that was what made it, just the way he's just completely bluffing his way through everything, even though he has no actual powers. Mm-hmm. The second episode was this one where everyone's kind of going up against the sort of bad villains, and through some stuff, Reagan actually ends up temporarily inheriting all of Mob's power. So he's basically beating all these guys without even realizing that they're like super powerful. Mm-hmm. Like the guy, and tries to stab him with like the sword, and it doesn't do anything to him because he's got that protection. He's like, "Why are you trying to stab me with a rubber sword?" And it's like a real one. They were honestly pretty entertaining to me. So the series did at least finish strong, I think.
Mm-hmm. I did see Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah. Not the much happened.
Yeah, I heard they're like, now remember that I haven't watched this, so all I know is that it seems like all the universes are coming together to battle in a big, big tournament, and apparently if Universe 7 loses, something bad's going to happen.
Well, supposedly, what will happen is that the universe that wins will still be a universe, and the others will all be destroyed.
And these other universes don't seem to be taking it that seriously.
Well, a bunch of them, most of them were. It's just weird, though, when they like meet that Saiyan from the alternate universe. I think his name was Cab or something. And they're all like, "Hey, it's nice to see you again and stuff." And I'm thinking, you guys are going to be fighting for the fate of your universe against each other. The first one was just Frieza beating a bunch of guys, and then the second one was them all going over to the place. So the fight will presumably be starting soon. By soon, I mean, considering the pacing, probably in about three episodes. Actually, I'm curious. Let me double check to see when the whole thing actually will start. Let's see. Okay, we got oh wow, it looks like it actually does start in the next episode.
Wow, I'll have to tune in then. Because this is supposedly the best part of this show.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, so I want to at least see this part. Especially considering I didn't really miss all that much. I just missed the Goku rounding up all the characters. Like, some of them, I don't get how they got on the team. Like, Master Roshi, like, how did he get on the team?
It's weird. I've been told that, like, this arc, like, people say it's really good, but it does have kind of seem to, again, from what I've heard, like, forget about the fact that Master Roshi is supposed to be a complete wimp compared to Goku now, but he apparently is actually still really strong and able to hold him up to a bunch of these other fighters, even though, like, again, because, Like at the start of the series, early on in the series, Goku managed to surpass him, I think. And this was back when, like, Goku was, compared to now, like, an utterly insignificant in power. But apparently Master Roshi is good now. Is that strong? From what I've heard. I don't know. That is what I've heard, that they just kind of ramp up a bunch of characters' power levels so they're competitive. But, but again, I'm just going by what I've heard, although that's probably the case, yeah. Okay. So we'll move on to Megalobox episodes 6 and 7. So Joe manages to, you know, get up, and he keeps fighting against the guy with the legs. And he manages to win, like, the robot legs. And he manages to win. Yay! And... But then it's, like, kind of confusing, because that other guy, because he told, like, Nanbu, I am going to destroy your apprentice. And afterwards, he's like, I wasn't really trying to do that. I don't really know what I was doing. I'm just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was still an entertaining sort of, like, fight, but it just was weird that it sets it up, and he's just like, it's okay. And it wasn't really explained, I think, like, why he changed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is, Joe ends up going up against the guy who's considered, like, the prime contender to getting into Megalonia. But then that guy, like, blackmails him to make him, to sort of force him to forfeiting the match. Which is where the episode ends. I skipped over a bunch of stuff there, but I know I went through this fast, but I did enjoy these episodes.
My problem with boxing as a genre of choice is that the same thing happens in every single Matt's the main character gets knocked down a couple of times. He barely gets up, and then he wins. Now, this is my problem with the Rocky movies. Although Rocky was even worse, because Rocky lost even after all that, and I felt like I just wasted 2 hours of my life because this guy fought really hard and then he lost anyway. So what was the point?
Well, I thought the point wasn't that he would win, but that he managed to do as well as he did. I mean, and then he like kind of, in the sequels, he managed to get sort of more like actual wins because, you know, I don't know. It just seemed to me that like the point of that was really more about him, like, you know, wanting to go the distance, last all the things, basically show people that he was a real contender, even if he didn't actually win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just never resonated with me, I guess.
Okay. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, but you know, these weren't bad episodes. I thought that I'm still confused over whether having gear is an advantage or a disadvantage. Like, they still haven't made that clear. Like, they were arguing again about this guy has the advantage of not having gear. And I was thinking, well, why doesn't everyone just not wear gear then if it's such an advantage to not wear it? I don't get it.
Well,
I thought from the start having the gear was an advantage, so.
Well, the impression I got, and I actually did like that they explained this, the trainer guy mentions that going without gear makes you slightly faster, because gear makes you go slightly slower, but it also means you don't get the other advantages of the gear, like, you know, the more powerful punches and stuff. And that's why he, like, mentions why Joe actually did have an advantage in one area by going gearless, even if he gave it up in all the other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad that they actually did say, yeah, there is an actual advantage to going without gear, but it does bring up the question of why other people apparently haven't done this. Because, mm-hmm. like yeah. I said, it's gaining an advantage in one area while losing it in others. So there's at least a trade-off, but it does seem a little weird that he's the only one who's been doing it. Maybe it's just generally regarded as like not worth the loss in speed. It's worth the increase in everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I was a little confused there.
Yeah, it is kind of funny you mentioned boxing, because I actually once heard someone say this. It was interesting. They were basically talking about, they said, all sports, like manga or anime writers, want their sport to be boxing, because it's a sport where you can be down a bunch of points, but then manage to get a knockout and win. You know, like a sudden come-from-behind victory. I just thought that was an interesting observation, considering how often that sort of thing is done, but, like, you know, doesn't work necessarily as well as boxing. But yeah, I enjoyed them. I'm interested as to what will happen after this, because it looks like he basically just lost in that way. I was left wondering, this is, again, one of my nitpicks, but so, like, the other kids, you know, they have to sneak into the arena to watch it. I was just thinking, well, like, don't the boxers get some free seats for their, like, friends or family? Like, I would assume they would.
Yeah.
But, yeah, minor nitpick there again. It is a little weird, though, because I mentioned earlier that I heard some comment about how the show goes in a sort of different direction after, or like around episode like 5 or something. I'm like, I'm not really seeing a difference in direction, so maybe it just, I guess it hasn't had as big of an emphasis on the boxing itself as you might have thought early on, but that's all I got to say on that, because I mentioned it before and I figured I might as well say that, so yeah, I'm good. So, after that, it is time for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, episodes 20 and 21. I think in this case, I want to tackle the episodes separately because, like, you know, they were very separate things, unlike most of the other shows we're covering, which, you know, is like, okay, this, you could just combine them because they go right into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just pull up the thing about, I didn't have the, one year. Okay, so basically the first of our episodes is, about, that Yukako Yamagishi girl, you know, the one who had the crush on Koichi, but, and all that stuff. Well, she still has one on him. So she goes to this sort of beauty place that, you know, is supposed to, you know, make, like, things work your way. And apparently it does, except then it wears off. And it turns out that, what do you know, the person there is able to do all that with a stand. So she's, like, you know, wanting it a longer-lasting one, and it seems to work, but then she doesn't, like, follow the instructions right, and it starts, you know, causing her face to fall off or something, but then with Koichi's help, she's able to actually get everything straightened out, and I guess they apparently become a couple or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this first episode was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, argument time, because I had the exact opposite opinion. I thought this was the weakest episode of Diamond is Unbreakable. I felt so bored by it. I just don't have any real... I think the problem is I don't really care much about Yukako, and she doesn't really do much in this episode to make me care about her, because she's mostly just angry and unpleasant through the whole thing. And I'm like, well, why am I supposed to want you to get with Koichi? It just felt kind of repetitive, and just, again, I didn't ever really care that much about her. I'm trying to think of how to put it. It reminded me of kind of that episode with the, it, to me, it felt like that episode at the restaurant, except without the humor and without the focus on the actual main characters. Mm-hmm. So I ended up not really caring for it. All right, then we'll move on to episode 21. So in this episode, so we are introduced to, well, actually, we kind of saw him before, but this is like the first real introduction. Yoshikage Kira, a crazy guy who carries around a woman's hand and talks to it. Mm-hmm. But then, through wacky shenanigans, the bag in which he had it gets taken by Shigeichi by mistake. And then more wacky shenanigans occur as Kira, no relation to Death Note, by the way, or that guy from Bleach, who I can't remember a single thing about, actually. Okay, now that we've gotten our duly required Bleach stab out of the way, there's all of that, and so most of the episode is him trying to get it back. Eventually he manages to, but then Shigeichi sort of notices him and accuses him, and then the guy turns out, oh yeah, well, actually I've got like a stand and stuff, so I'm going to kill you now. Because you mentioned to me earlier what your opinion on this episode was, I think we're going to be disagreement, because I thought this was a lot better than the previous one. I was actually really interested in this episode.
Yeah, this episode was right there with the Crabs episode as the most pointless episodes of JoJo. Like, I just do not understand it at all.
Wait, what Crabs episode are we talking about?
Remember, there was an episode, or what was the thing? Now, see, it was so.
Was this, well, was this Diamond is Unbreakable, or was this the, Stardust Crusaders?
Yeah, it was just a few episodes ago.
Do you mean like the one where they were at the restaurant?
No, the one where Jotaro and Josuke have to kill all those.
Oh, the rats.
Rats, yeah, the rats.
Well, you said crab.
Yeah, rats.
Okay.
And, like, right, these two episodes are just, like, just so stupid. Like, I didn't understand what the point of this is. And now, here we are, like, 20 episodes into Diamond is Unbreakable, and I still don't know what the point of this show is. Like, is the entire point of JoJo now just to be just the bizarre part of JoJo's bizarre adventure? I mean, are we ever going to get to something that, you know, something meaningful? Because the first three parts of JoJo all had a purpose. This is getting stupider by the episode, and I just don't understand what I'm supposed to be getting out of it, you know?
Oh, well, one of the reasons I liked this episode was because this is basically the one that actually does start off a sort of larger, more like continuing plot.
So this is going to go somewhere from here.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. For me, I just thought it was a story about how he had his lunch taken from him and all of that.
This guy is actually like the primary antagonist of the season. So,
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
If you not realizing that probably changed your opinion on it, because when I was watching, there's like, okay, finally we're getting into it. He's being introduced. This is and stuff. The problem I think I had with this episode was that there just were so it was all of his attempts to get the thing back, and I just kept thinking, why don't like, especially when you find out he does have a stand, you're just thinking, why didn't you use your stand?
Yeah.
to like grab it, because he that was my big problem. He's doing all this stuff when you could have just used your stand to grab it, especially because most people can't see stands, and you would have no reason to believe any of them did have stands. So I guess that was my one issue with it. But other than that, I did find it interesting.
Okay, well, I guess maybe it'll get better from here. Let's see.
Okay. All right, so we'll move on to Hunter Hunter episodes 127 and 128.
Okay, so what we've got is the king is dead, right? Yep, the king is dead. No, of course he isn't dead. And we have Poof and Yuppie going all the way out to try to save him. And meanwhile, Gon has run out of patience, so he is now taking Pito with him to go save Kite. So they're going to go save Kite, and they leave the girl, Komugi, to the other guys to try to save. And now the Poof and Yuppie go off to save the king. And then second episode, they are able to give parts of themselves for him to eat to save his life. And now he's back, and he's better than ever, and he is going to try to recover his memories because he forgets almost everything. So Poof realizes that as soon as he sees that girl, Komugi, that he is going to remember all his memories with her. So he's got to get back there and kill her before he gets back there. So now, but the king has more powers now, so the king's faster. So now the two of them are going at it. And basically, he's trying to get back in time to stop him from seeing the girl, but he runs into those friends of Gon, which I don't know what to call them at this point. The human gang, mm-hmm. I guess. And the human gang is going, you know, the human fund. And they're going to try to stop him or from doing anything. And I guess this is like really difficult for me to explain, but they were difficult episodes to explain, you know?
Maybe you should have just said not much happened. Because seriously, okay, so the first episode was a little better in terms of things happening, but I couldn't help but notice, and I was just thinking, why are you spending, Netero, you know, he managed to pull off the bomb and stuff, and I'm just thinking, why did you feel the need to spend like 5 minutes explaining where the history of these bombs? I don't need to know this. I just need to know, like, if your point was to explain why this isn't used more commonly, all you have to do is say it takes a ton of Nen, and you got to be a super strong Nen user to be able to use it. That's all you need to say. You don't need to go into a detailed history about them and the laws governing them and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And the second episode was another one where you just kind of feel where it just feels, because like that whole episode is basically just, okay, the king like takes energy from the two royal guards and he's back, but except he doesn't have his full memories. That is all that is established that happens in that entire episode. Like, you could have done that in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
That was,
yeah, these episodes just not very good. So, but what happens there's going to be a payoff, so you've got to keep watching, okay?
I mean, I expect there's a payoff. It's just that this went on for so long is It's just that was my thought at the end of the episode. I was just thinking, wow, you could have done because like the king gets revived. That's all we need to know is he gets revived. He doesn't have his memories back and they like gave up his essence for you could have done all that stuff in like 5 minutes is my problem. Okay, well, okay, so that's the Toonami stuff. We'll move on to our other shows. Ice Shield 21 episode 118. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So basically,
I am so interested to hear how many things here wouldn't have happened and how many things were realistic. I love it when you do that for this series.
Okay, so Monta, well, first of all, everyone's crying and stuff because they lost. And then we discover that Monta had touched out of bounds with 3 seconds left, or 4 seconds left, and the official is able to puts time back on the clock as he notices that he went out of bounds. And hard to believe the official would miss a player touching out of bounds like that. But, okay. So then they set up one final play from 20 yards away. And they need a touchdown. So what are they going to do? They're going to have Haruma start yelling to the crowd, getting them all pumped up. And while they do that, the ball gets snapped to Senna, who is now going to try to run for a touchdown. Now, granted, there is a sense of this that a direct snap play, that is a trick play, that's a real play, but you would never call a running play from the 20-yard line with 4 seconds left. So chances of gaining 20 yards on a run are so minuscule. I mean, that's just hard to believe. But he scores a touchdown. So now it's time for extra point to put the game in overtime. And they have a big discussion over it. And as soon as they had that discussion, I said, out loud, I said, they're going to go for a fake extra point. So this was like about as obvious as could be. They do the fake extra point. And Haruma goes to throw it. And the funny thing is that the other team kind of knew that was coming. So for them not to be able to stop it, that's pretty sad. But basically, Haruma tries the quarterback sneak then up. Well, I don't know if you call it a sneak, but he tries running up the middle, and that doesn't work. And usually, by that point, he'd be down. But I guess he's not down yet, so he flips the ball out to Senna, who jumps over for the touchdown, for the two points. You don't call it a touchdown. That's something that I have a pet peeve with, because they call it a touchdown, and a 2-point conversion is never called a touchdown ever, because that would be too confusing, because touchdowns are worth 6 points. So they get the 2-point conversion, they win, and Haruma lets off the biggest yaha of all time. They beat the Nagas, and that's exactly where it ends. So we don't know anything about what happens from here, but, overall, I thought it was a very good episode, and this one was a bit more realistic than the other one, but not by much. Not by much.
Yeah, well, I usually can't have, like, no idea about what's realistic or what's not. I mean, I know if something, like, is a brazen violation of the rules, but in terms of whether something is a smart strategy or would actually be employed, I don't know. It's kind of be like, if you moved your king pawn forward three squares in chess, that is not legal. To make an analogy, I would say that's not legal. You can't do that. But if you were to, like, move your rook pawn forward two squares, I wouldn't realize, oh, that's a terrible decision. No one would ever do that at, like, any competitive level.
My dad used to do that, and that used to be his opening, was to move the rook pawn forward two squares. I don't know why he did that, if he was, like, letting me win or something. But, like, I always then moved up the appropriate pawn two squares so that whenever he tried pulling his rook out, then I just get his rook with my bishop. And that's how the game would always begin. And it was always like he was giving me help to start the game. And I don't know to this day whether he was letting me win or not, but it was like the easiest thing for me to figure out.
Yeah. So, yes, I did really enjoy this episode. It was exciting. It's everything. This whole game has been really good. As I've been saying, it's just such a, I'm like, it's such a big leaping quality when we're on the stuff that was actually from the manga, and it makes me so, like, excited and happy. And now I'm worried that we might be about to go back into filler.
Yeah. My only thing I regret is that it didn't go into overtime, because I want to know what overtime rules they use in ICO 21. There's so many different overtime rules that I just want to find out what they do over in Japan.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember if there's ever overtime in any other thing. So yeah. Good episode. We'll go on to Yomushi Petal, episode 24. So Naruko and the big guy are trying to catch up with the guy with the muscular guy, because I can never remember their names. But then we discover the secret to catching up with someone: pedal faster.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much, I mean, sure, it, like, says some stuff about, like, how some special lung technique or whatever he uses, but it's basically just you catch up to them by pedaling faster. Yeah, that's kind of all I can. There's not really much else that happens now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of really starting to sort of worry, because it just seems like in bicycling, so many times there's not much you can really do to beat someone other than, again, pedaling faster, or in this case, you know, coming up with some sort of, like, reason as to why you're able to pedal faster. So I don't know how well that'll, like, turn out to be. I'm just worried that it's going to be so much more of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anything else? Nothing else to add?
No, don't really have anything.
Okay. So World Trigger, episode 15. So in this episode, there's kind of two plots going on. The first is Jin fighting Tachikawa, Kazama, and some of the other guys, and to make a long story short on that, his Black Trigger is, like, super overpowered, so he manages to, like, you know, do really well against them.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the other portion, it's the other characters going up against each other, in which so Kitora is able to take out Kyosuke by sort of tricking him into running into some wires and then stabbing him. But then she ends up, but he just kind of pushes her out of the building, so she ends up getting one of her legs shot off. And so basically it ends up being kind of down to, I see it. The problem is I know all these characters' names, and I worry if I say them, you won't recognize who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But Kitori and Arashiyama end up sort of holed up in an alley and come up with some sort of plan on how to beat back the other guys. So Arashiyama kind of comes out, and then Izumi and Miwa just kind of start fighting against him, which is where the episode ends.
Yeah.
Oh, we do get explanations for all, like, the shooter triggers, where they explain, like, you know, asteroid, hound, viper, meteor. So that was kind of nice to know. So
yeah, I didn't like this episode all that much. In fact, it seems like this has gone the way of Yomusi Petal. Like, we stopped caring about the main characters, and now it's gone down in quality. That's the way it seems to me.
Well, to me, the part with Jin, I wasn't really interested in at all, because it's just like, hey, I've got this overpowered thing and I can beat you with it. Which, as is kind of, is especially made clear lately, is just a point of it. He's just, the other guys are basically just supposed to be jobbers to him. Which is kind of annoying, because Dachikawa and Kazama are actually really strong. So it's just kind of annoying that they're introduced, oh, these guys are super strong, but they get completely clowned by Jin. So I always kind of found that part kind of boring. The other thing I thought was more interesting, because there was like more strategy to it, more, you know, interesting usage of the triggers, the learning about the things. That was actually interesting to me. But I think yeah, so it's kind of half and half for me in terms of what I thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we end up with, we'll close with Steins Gate, episode 2. So, the Rintaro, yeah, that's the name of the main character. So he's discovering that all sorts of things are different than what he remembered them as we kind of established in the previous, at the end of the previous episode. Someone he saw who was killed is alive. This person who gave this lecture he attended didn't actually give one. This guy he had books about aren't there, which leaves him confused about the whole thing. And, you know, with speculations about it involving time travel. Then they try to do something with a banana in what looked to be a microwave. I actually really not sure what they were doing there. But the banana vanishes and then goes back to the thing, except it's green. But then that person who we saw who was dead, who showed up at the end of the previous episode, who kind of made fun of him after he was like, but you were dead, then shows up. This was like kind of a weird episode for me, because it was kind of like, well, I don't think it really progressed much, but I still enjoyed most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a lot better than the first episode. I see it going somewhere. I think it needs some more characters, you know, but it's off to an okay start.
Yeah, it is. I enjoyed it. I think the biggest problem, it does seem like it was a little paced a little slow. There were like some stuff there that didn't really seem to have much of a point, like him visiting the temple and picking up some stuff. Maybe that'll pay off later on, but for now it just kind of felt like it was just kind of put there as some sort of weird slice of life thing in the middle of this like apparently science fiction story.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all of our the stuff then. I guess we can go for our top 3. Well, yeah, which is a little complicated because we have to like basically average out the things. It's weird because I didn't like I said, I didn't like the first JoJo episode, but I liked the second one. So, but they kind of average it out to not be so great. So I'm going to say, let me think. Number one would be Ice Shield 21, definitely. Number two would be, see, I keep forgetting to put these things together. Number two would be Megalobox. And number three is, well, if we're counting the stuff that we both watch, it would be My Hero Academia. But I, if not, if I can count everything, I honestly would put Mob Psycho 100 at number three.
Yeah, I put ICO 21 first. I put, let's see, My Hero Academia second and Hunter x Hunter third.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised you put Hunter x Hunter because I thought you didn't really like the episode. Or was it just a matter that you weren't really that enthusiastic about the rest of the shows?
Yeah, it's a mixture of the two. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that's been our episode. You can see our previous episodes at TsunamiTherapy.podbean.com and TommyAPhillips.com. We usually put these up on Friday after recording on Thursday. Anything else to say?
No, don't have anything else to add this week.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, hopefully, unless something happens again. But in that case, we'll try to, you know, fix it up the week afterwards. So we will be seeing you at some point in the future. And, the Sword Art Online with the unpronounceable name starts this week. So we'll have, so we'll cover that, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. The way they pronounced it on the commercial was not the way I expected it to be pronounced. Oh, so,
how did they pronounce it on? I can't remember.
It was like Alexization, and it was, and I was like, shouldn't it be more like Elysization? You know, I don't know.
I wonder if it'll be pronounced differently in the show than they do in the promos. Because I think I remember in some of like the promos, they'll refer to the stand by its original name when in the show they had to like, you know, change it for like, you know, trademark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like he mentions, like the guy mentions, this is my stand, Deadly Queen, instead of, you know, Killer Queen, because you know, legal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you name all your so many things after band names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to say, like I heard what someone once say, you know, you just wonder what's on the author's playlist. That would be so interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's it. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Bye, Nee.